Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I'm going to talk today about the meaning of aging, the meaning of growing older. And I want to share with you a story from the Gospel of Mark. One day, Jesus left the synagogue in Capernaum, and he went into the house of Peter and Andrew with James and John. Now, Peter's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and the first thing they did was to tell Jesus about her. Jesus went over to her, grasped her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and immediately she began to wait on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, many people don't know that our first Pope, Peter, was married, and we know that because we just heard in the story that Peter had a mother-in-law. It's kind of humorous. Those of you with in-laws know that there can be struggles sometimes, and I heard Fulton Sheen one time say that the reason why Peter denied Jesus three times is because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And then I heard another story about in-laws, and it was about a man who had his mother-in-law living with them in their family for about 20 years and till the end of her life. Finally, she died. And, you know, the funeral home, and they took her to the funeral home, and the funeral director said to the man, "Do you want to have her cremated or embalmed?" And he said, "Both. She's tricky." Well, anyway, I want to talk about aging. And I want to talk about how aging is a very natural thing. Many of you who watch my program, you're a bit older, and you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s. Some of you, your 90s. Well, aging is a very natural process, of course. But I want to talk about the fact that there's a meaning to aging. Most people just say, well, this is something natural and, you know, the sufferings that come and growing older. But I want to tell you that there is significance to your aging and to your growing older if you look at it with the eyes of faith. I was reading an article about aging, and it was talking about how we all grow older together. And that's true. From the moment we're born to the moment we die, we're all aging and we're all going together. And everybody's in it together. You know, maybe you're young right now, but in time you won't be. And the article I was reading about talked about a silver tsunami that's happening right now in our culture. And it said that senior citizens in New York City are now beginning to outnumber the school-age children. In other words, it used to be there's a lot of children and not so many older people. Now the tide is turning. The baby boomers are getting older. And there's a silver tsunami happening now. And people are living longer. Used to be that people, if you lived to 70, 75 years old, that was a pretty long time. But now people are living to 90, 95, 100. 90 is the new 70. So people are aging, and we're all in it together. And as I said, aging is natural. Nobody can avoid it. But it brings all kinds of problems, especially suffering. You know, every one of us, as we age, we suffer. The body doesn't work like it used to. People lose their hearing, their eyesight, arthritis, back problems, heart troubles. All kinds of a variety of different things happen, all as we grow older. Things just don't work like they used to. I have a Facebook page, and on my Facebook page, I ask the question, you know, what are your issues as you grow older and as you age? And I got a variety of responses. One 55-year-old a woman said that her husband is disabled at age 55, and he's struggling with the why me of it all. Why is this happening to me? And that's what a lot of people ask. Then another person said that illness has no age. They have spinal cancer at age 37, and 2 years later they became a paraplegic. So you don't have to be older to suffer. It can happen at any age. And then one person said that they have macular degeneration of the eye and they're 60 years old. But in faith, they said, one day God's going to give me a new body. And I like that. And another person said that they're in constant pain all the time. And that's really sad. You know, so many people email me, Father Cedric, pray for me. I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that. And so I'm not saying that it's easy to get older. I know that it is. It's hard. I hear from many of you, and you know, I get your emails and your letters. I know that many of you that are watching my program are older than I am, and I know that you're struggling with all kinds of different issues. Let me list what some of those issues are. What are the issues that senior people are going through? Well, coping with loss. Maybe you've lost friends or a husband, a wife, some children, family. You can be grieving. It's very difficult. This is one of the things that we have to go through as we go through the life cycle is grieving. One of the hardest things that I had to go through was losing my dad. That was very difficult. And then, of course, as I said, you know, you have to cope with the loss of your eyesight and your ears. Maybe you got my program turned way up because it's hard to hear. You lose your memory. There's loneliness and isolation, loss of independence. Many people that grow older are depressed. I found out that one of the highest rates of suicide is in senior people, surprisingly, because as they grow older, they get depressed. It's hard. You have these different losses. Now, I'm not trying to just paint a negative picture of growing old, because there's a lot of joys and a lot of celebrations, too, like having grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the extended family, and there's all kinds of beautiful things. But the truth is, as you grow older, you suffer. Your body wears down, and it's harder. But I want to tell you, hold on, there's meaning in this. There's purpose. There's significance if you look at it with the eyes of faith. And other issues, of course, arthritis, as I said, diabetes, heart trouble, blood pressure, strokes, feeling tired, you don't have the energy that you used to. So everybody has something. And again, I don't want to be pessimistic. It's a very natural thing to grow older and to age. And I believe that it has meaning. And one of the meanings that I want to tell you about has to do with, I really feel that as we grow older, what's happening is we are experiencing what it is to be disconnected from God. When we fell from God in the first place, we were independent because of our sinfulness, and it's almost like being a branch disconnected from a vine. And when that happens is you begin to wither. So in a way, aging is teaching us, it's giving us wisdom, it's giving us understanding about what it is to be disconnected from God. And I'm not saying that you don't have a prayer life and that you're not connected with God, but it's teaching us, if you'll listen, it'll give you wisdom about what it is to be disconnected from God. And the truth is, when we fell from God, we inherited a body that grows old, that withers, that doesn't work, and it eventually dies. And we need to learn from this. Our bodies are great teachers. They can teach us wisdom. So that's one of the purposes of our aging and growing older, is that it teaches us. It teaches us what? That we're not self-sufficient, that we need to be God-sufficient, that we're not independent, that we need to be leaning on the everlasting arms. Whenever I suffer, whether it be my knees or acne or migraines or whatever I get or the hardships of life, I lean on God. And I realize that, you know what, my life is not independent. I cannot survive by myself. I am not going to resurrect myself from the dead. I need God. I think about Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, or any of the 12-step program. It's interesting, in the 12-step program, a person has to, when they come into recovery, they have to admit that their life is unmanageable, that they're not in control. And most of the people that get into that program are very much controlling people. They think they can do it. They think they can manage this addiction or drinking or shopping or whatever it is, and that they're in control. And then finally, one day, they have a bottoming out experience or something happens to them where they realize that, you know what, after all, they're not in control. And they can't manage their life, and that they need help. And it's interesting, they have to make this surrender to God. And in a way, that's exactly what the body is teaching us, that our lives are unmanageable, that we can't do it on our own, that we are not self-sufficient. We need to be God-sufficient. We need to rely upon God. There's a scripture quote from Paul the Apostle where Paul was bemoaning his sufferings. you know, the shipwrecks and the stonings and the, and he said, one time my life was crushed beyond despair. He said, I thought I had been given the sentence of death. And he said, this was to make me rely upon God who raises the dead. And that to me is the secret of aging, that our bodies are meant to teach us to rely upon God who raises the dead. That's exactly what an alcoholic has to do, surrender to God. And that's what we have to do. So really, our bodies are great teachers. If you listen really closely to your body, it will teach you that you are not your own person. You cannot live an independent life. You must rely upon God who raises the dead. So some people, when they suffer, it drives them further away from God and it makes them even more independent and more prideful. But people with wisdom, people with understanding, it will bring you humility. It will bring you an openness to God. It will bring you surrender. And that's what I'm hoping for you. God's not giving you the suffering. He's not inflicting you with punishment, but you can learn from your body, and it will bring you right to God. Tradition has it that years ago, Ponce de Leon sought the fountain of youth. And oh, wouldn't it be good to drink from that fountain of youth and have a young, healthy body all the time. Well, Ponce de Leon, of course, when he sought for the fountain of youth, you know what he found? He found Florida. And ironically, Florida, the fountain of youth? Well, it turns out to be Florida is the place where most of the elderly people gather. Granted, the weather's kind of nice there and there's beaches and different things. But Florida is a place, sometimes people ask me about purgatory. Father, what is purgatory? Is purgatory a place of flames and, you know, crying and moaning? You know, what is purgatory? And I kind of smile and I say, you know what purgatory is? Purgatory is Florida. And what do I mean by that? Well, I've preached a lot of missions in Florida. My mother lives in Florida. And I can tell you, in Florida, there are people, many people who are old, many people who have lost spouses, many people who have lost children, people that are in nursing homes, people that are in hospitals. It's purgatory. And what's happening there? All these sufferings in Florida, and of course there's younger people there too, but all the sufferings that people are going through, whether it be Florida or Michigan or Pennsylvania or New York or wherever it is meant to purify and to purge and to bring healing to a person. It's meant to bring a person sanctification and depth with God. So really, that's the purpose of our life here on earth as we suffer and we struggle. It's to bring us into a deeper relationship with God. One time I was talking to my aunt. She lives in Massachusetts. She's in her 80s, her upper 80s. Now she's in her 90s. But the time I was talking to her, she was in her 80s. And she said to me, you know, she said, Father Cedric, she said, I've outlived my brothers and sisters. I've outlived most of my friends. I've outlived my whole family. God must have something more for me to do. Well, that's what a lot of people say when they grow older. God must have something more for me to do. And that could be true. You know, he might want you to be volunteering or, you know, realizing your potential. I'm all for living with passion. I want you to be the best that you can be. But my aunt Val, you know, there she was in her own apartment. She's 90 years old. She can barely get out of there. You know, what more does God have for her to do that way? So what I told her is, Aunt Val, it's not so much what that God has something more for you to do, but rather it's what God wants to do in you. And I want you to get that. Most people think about when they grow older that God has something more for them to do in terms of action and behavior. And that may be, but more than doing, we're human beings. We're not human doings, we're human beings. And it's our being that God is working in. He wants to sanctify and to purify and to purge and to help you to grow within. And that's really crucial. That's what a lot of older people don't understand, and younger people too. They don't understand that as you grow older, it's not just the doing that's important, it's the becoming. And y'all know, many of you have tuned into my program for many years, you've read some of my books. Y'all know that saying that I have, who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And becoming is a doing thing, but it's also a being thing. You're allowing God to work in you and produce virtue and sanctify you, help you to turn away from your sins, become the image of Jesus. Now, this is really, really important. This is the meaning of aging. I want to tell you there is purpose, there is meaning, and there is significance in your growing older if you look at it with the eyes of faith. Many people are fatalistic. They just say, oh, I'm growing older and I'm getting sicker and this is just the way it is and I'm going to die and that's that. Well, no. Jesus has brought tremendous significance into our life. The opening story that I gave you about Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick. Jesus came over, grabbed her by the hand, and lifted her up. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He brings significance. He brings new life. He brings us from fever to fervor, from sickness to service. And this woman really was the first deacon in the church. When she waited on them, the word that was used in the Bible for Peter's mother-in-law was the word diakone, which means she was the first deacon. She waited on them. She served. So in other words, Jesus, when he touches us, he brings significance to our growing older, to our sicknesses. And the fact that he grabs us by the hand, I love that. He's with us in our pain. So there's tremendous meaning as we grow older, tremendous significance. I want to tell you about all the saints. What's your favorite saint? I love St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionists. I love St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Franciscans. I love St. Catherine of Siena. I love Mother Teresa, who's now been beatified, not canonized, but beatified. She's a blessed. I love John Paul II. He was also beatified. Remember, for example, John Paul II, our former pope. Think about the sufferings that he went through. He was shot, for one thing. He led the church, had a lot of stress and anxiety. At the end of his life, remember how hunched over he was and he shook? He suffered with Parkinson's disease. But what I loved about John Paul II was his attitude. He had tremendous attitude, very positive attitude, and he led the church all the way to the end. I think about Billy Graham, how he preached with such vim and passion and vigor, and he developed Parkinson's disease. He lost his wife, Ruth. Now he's in his 90s, living alone, Parkinson's. It's very hard. People don't think about Billy Graham anymore, but God thinks about him, and God is working in his soul. God was working in John Paul II's soul. God was working in Mother Teresa when she suffered at the end of her life. And I think about our saint, the founder of the Passionists, St. Paul of the Cross. I consider him the saint of older people. Lived to be 81 years old. Many saints die early, but not Paul of the Cross. He lived to be 81. For the last 20 or 30 years of his life, historians tell us that he was suffering with some type of a desolation in his prayer life, or some type of a hardship that might have even been a depression. But the beautiful thing about Paul of the Cross is, when it came to prayer, even though he wasn't feeling it in prayer, even though he wasn't getting the consolation or he wasn't sensing the glory, he continued to stay with it and to persevere and not give up. You see, that's what God is looking for. As we grow older and maybe things don't work like they used to, he wants us to have a positive attitude and to stay faithful and to persevere. And when it comes to prayer, maybe you don't feel it like you used to, but prayer isn't about feelings and about what we can get from God. Prayer is about giving to God in love and in sacrifice. And that's what made Paul of the Cross so great, because he continued to give to people and continued to give to God, even though he didn't feel it. So that shows me that he was growing, he was becoming, and he was graced in his old age. And tremendous significance in old age. I talk about the body that we have as I coined a phrase one time. And I talk about the body as being what I call a humilifier. And what do I mean by that? Well, the body brings humility. And as we grow older, we get wrinkles. Things don't work like they used to. You don't have the talents that you used to have. And it brings humility. See, athletes, for example, actresses, for example, when they're young and they're sleek and they're strong, they have all this pride, you know, in their abilities and in their talents. And then as they grow older and they lose the ability and they have to retire from sports, or maybe they're a newscaster and they're not so good looking anymore and they get fired from their job, oftentimes they can get depressed because they're not what they used to be. Well, if you put your stock and if you put your self-image and if you put your self-worth in the way you look or in your abilities, then you're bound to crumble. But the body as a humilifier means that as you grow older gracefully, it will bring you humility because you'll realize that you're not your body. You're not the way you look. You're not your talents. But rather, prideful people think they are their talents and the way they look, and they put their stock in themselves. But humble people realize that, you know what, there's more than just this. And humility means an openness, a surrender, a willingness to come to God in a deep personal way. So really, I believe that the sufferings, the growing older, you don't look as good as you used to when you were younger, are meant to teach us humility. Humility does not mean, oh, I'm a worm and I'm no good. No, rather, humility means that there's an openness to God, that there's an openness to God moving in you, that there's a self-surrender to God. So let your sufferings teach you. This is what the saints have taught us. This is what I'm learning in my own life. We are not independent. We have to be God-dependent. We are not self-sufficient. We need to be God-sufficient. We need to lean on the everlasting arms. One of the stories that I love to tell is the story about the butterfly. I have it on the cover of my first book called Live Passionately. And that book is great for seniors. It will give you meaning, perspective, understanding about what you're going through. Well, anyway, if you've heard the story, it's about this caterpillar that crawls up a tree and he spins a cocoon. And inside the cocoon, metamorphosis is taking place. And a little boy who was studying butterflies in his science class, he goes and he's looking out in the forest and he sees the cocoon up there and he grabs it and he brings it home and he puts the little cocoon on the table. And right at that moment, the little butterfly wing started to sprout from the cocoon. Well, the little boy, you know, he's thinking, wow, look at this. This is just what we were studying in class, but it's taking a long time. You see, metamorphosis, transformation, purgation, sanctification takes time. You have to get that. So what does he do? He goes over to his mother's sewing kit and he's going to help the butterfly out. He gets a pair of scissors real carefully, cuts the hard cocoon, and the butterfly comes out. Its wings are all misshapen and it spins around on the table and dies. And if you know anything about the butterfly, it needs the struggle and the wrestling with the hard cocoon so that the fluids and the blood in the body can go to the wings and the wings can be strong and the butterfly can fly and be who it was meant to be. Now, the little boy, when he cut away the cocoon, he thought he was helping the butterfly. In actuality, he killed it. And in the same way, don't we pray something like this? Lord, if only I didn't have this suffering. Lord, if only I didn't have these relationship problems. Lord, if only I didn't have this cocoon. Please cut it away. But it's in the cocoon, it's in the struggle, it's in the wrestling, it's in the hardships that we become, that our wings get strong spiritually, that we become a person of character and virtue and a person of significance. I want you to understand this. You're growing older, you're aging, your sufferings have significance. They have meaning. Don't just think this is arbitrary. Don't think God is punishing you. He's not. They have meaning. Viktor Frankl was a man who was held in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II, and he wrote a book. You ever want to read a good book? Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And this is what he said. He saw all kinds of suffering. He said, a person can bear with any what if they have a why. You know what that means? You can deal with anything that you have to deal with if you have meaning, if you have significance. And I'm telling you, your growing older has significance. It has meaning. It has purpose. God is working in you. He's sanctifying you. He's not giving you the pain. He's not giving you the suffering, but he's working in you. And he knows that that cocoon is what we all need so that we can become the image of Jesus. And this is right from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, verse 30. God makes all things work to good for those who love him. So please understand, you have meaning, you have significance. Look at what's going on in your life. Don't be independent. Don't be self-sufficient. Let your sufferings teach you and bring you to Christ. Let God do a great work in you.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.